to sing the second verse that says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Beautiful words of Jesus. In these days, as he's feeding us out of his mouth, this is a word of life to us, a word that we take and we devour. It becomes our very being, doesn't it? Man shall not live by
moving in our lives and hearts as he is, why we find ourselves here today, even in this place, in this room. Nothing is by chance. It is God that's working and moving in our lives. Praise his name. And I have a title for this teaching today, Simplifying Our Belief and Faith. Simplifying our belief and faith. The enemy, who is at present the God of this world, knows exactly how to try and keep us away from having that faith that God wants us to have. That is that Bible scriptural faith. He'll let people believe in God and mention about God or talk about God, but when you start to live by the power of God's Spirit and by his word, he starts to try and do things. And one of the things that we're all very, very aware of what is happening in the world, and that is how fast everything is moving. The pace of life. Everyone is in a rush. Everyone wants it now. Everyone demands it now. We are not to queue, we're not to wait for anything. And I believe the powers of darkness are working overtime in society with regard to this. And as a result of it, it doesn't take long to discern what comes as a result of all of this. Tension, anxieties, depression, fatigue, burnt out, mental issues. You can just go on and on and on. The list is huge. And a lot of this is coming about because the enemy will not let man rest. We know that the enemy, the way he works, he torments man. Man is fundamentally tormented without the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. And yet, sadly, those who profess Christ are still needing deliverance from this. And so we have these ungodly pressures upon society, even on young people now, young children who no longer have those lovely innocent lives growing up, doing those childish things that we once used to do. They don't do that now anymore. They're even confined to their home, or they live in flats, or their eyes are continually on computers or on their phone. Even the young people, these are strong demonic forces that are working. And they are working in such a way to stop man from living a simplified life. The enemy wants our lives complicated, bound up. And that is the way he can hold us in fears and anxieties, worries, all those things of which Jesus said, if we seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. We're not to be fearful or anxious about anything, where our next meal will come, money to pay our bills, and so on. Yet we have found, haven't we, over the years, that we're still probably being delivered from this. We're still being hindered after all these years, having had numerous teachings on faith. And yet here we are. God is still addressing these issues. And we do need to take heed what the Spirit is saying and what he requires. Because I believe the faith walk, the deeper life, is a simplified faith. It is a childlike faith. And the powers of darkness know that that is the faith that God is looking for. That is the faith that our Lord Jesus Christ walked and believed with, and what the overcomers will in these last days. And that is why he tries to hinder and fight, and to keep you occupied, busy, consumed in other things, to stop you from experiencing this simplistic faith that we're to have in our Lord. And that is why I'm calling this teaching today, Simplifying Our Belief and Faith. You see, God is all the while wanting to teach us something new with regard to faith and our needs and so on. In actual fact, when the Holy Spirit is continuing to reveal to you each day in your walk about your walk of faith, that teaching in nature is deliverance to you and to me in order to simplify our faith, our belief. And that's why he's always wanting to teach us something new in also in our trials. Our trials are not only to perfect us, but they're also to teach us new things with regard to how we walk by faith. And that is why so many who don't want to walk by faith, because they don't want to let their fears and their phobias go, and They're afraid of totally trusting God. And many in churches sadly are like this. And this is why they hide their talent in the earth. And they become barren, fruitless, and consequently they're worthless to the kingdom of God. And sadly, they shrink back. And they shrink back in fear from their trials, their tests, their faith walk, their compromise. They're fearful because of the future, the unknown. And of course, they don't have the cross in their lives. And that is why they're fearful. And their lives are complicated. God is making our lives uncomplicated. And let the Holy Spirit do this. And in order, obviously, for this to be done, it means that we have to unlearn things. And this is why we're being taught. And this is why the Holy Spirit brings us together, so that we learn new things, so that he gets to our faith. Because every time we come together for fellowship like we're doing now, it is for the purpose to get to our faith, to unfetter us, to make our faith simple, not complicated. And in order for that, it means that we always have to keep learning new things as God reveals to us. And many of those things, as we learn, and we learn something new, when suddenly it drops from your head to your heart, ah, I see it now after all these years. All you're really doing is actually just letting go. Letting go of that fear that so often gets in the way. And if there is fear there, you can be guaranteed there's also a wrong confession is also there. And that's why we have to confess our sins before him, our unbelief, so that he is delivering us in order to have this simplistic faith and walk with the Lord. It isn't complicated, but we make it complicated. And we make it complicated because we resist the Holy Spirit and what he's requiring and wanting of us. And that is a lot of the problem. You see, the Holy Spirit has come baptizing us not only to replicate within us discipleship, walking that Christ-like walk, but also the cross, which we too are to take up daily and to follow. What is that cross for? Well, obviously, death to the self-life. And what is death to the self-life? It's simplifying our faith. Did you know the cross is for your faith to believe? With just that mustard seed of faith. And why am I emphasizing so much this simplification? It's so that we are one with him. You cannot experience that true oneness if your life is complicated, hindered, distracted. Your heart is on other things. You can't have that oneness with him. And you cannot have that simple, childlike faith. And this is where we have to settle this in our lives, in our hearts, with Almighty God. And so often, of course, this is for the asking. It's asking in prayer these things. Father, give me this childlike faith. And whatever hinders this childlike faith in my life, then I give you permission to deliver me, to set me free, to deal with my circumstances, to remove me from ungodly associations or people who are in my life that are a hindrance. You know, brothers and sisters, and I battle this one, but a lot of Christians, and I've said this before, I'm going to say this again. A lot of Christians who love the Lord Jesus Christ are actually very likable, attractive people to a lot of people. Because we're kind, we don't swear, we don't tell dirty jokes, we want to help people go that extra mile. And there are those who will jump on the bandwagon. They are attracted to that, but they don't want to make a commitment to Christ. And they will suck all the strength out of you. They will hinder you, getting you caught up because they want to be with you. They want your company and so on. And you begin to find you're losing that peace. And you lose that peace because you cannot share the one you love with them because you know they're not really interested. We, all of us, have to be on our guard in these things. And sometimes we have to walk away. Because they're not helping us. And this is why we have to sometimes work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, as the Bible says. And sometimes we just have to be ruthless. We're dealing with the fact that we're making it into the kingdom of God. And this person is actually become a hindrance to me now. They're not interested. They're not interested about the Lord. They don't really want to know. And that's why Jesus said sometimes, if they don't want to know, then shake the dust off your feet and move to the next place. That sadly is the reality. Why is Jesus saying all of that? Because don't get caught up. They will suck you dry. They will become a hindrance to you because they're not really interested in the Lord. They like you as a person. You're lovable, gentle. Yes, that's what God's doing in your life. They're attracted to that, but they're not attracted. They're not drawn to Jesus. And that is the difference. And that is why he's simplifying our lives for this childlike faith, this simple trust. It is a faith between you and God. That is what ultimately he's doing. All the teaching that I have been privileged to be able to give on the deeper life and faith over all these years is for the purpose that you have that faith and stand between you and God, not me believing for you. That is ultimately what it is. You will find in so many churches when saints go through trials and tests or whatever it is, straight to the minister, straight to the elders, please pray for me, please stand with me, please lay hands on me. And it's not to say that that doesn't have a place. But the ultimate of the deeper life, its nature, is that you have a faith and it's between you and God Almighty. That is sonship. And that's why true faith is where the arm of the flesh and others and whatever situation are just merely shadows. Because you walk by faith before Almighty God. And that is the key to this. I walk by faith before Almighty God. Not before FGA or the pastor or whoever it may be. I walk by faith before Almighty God. And everything else, the arm of the flesh, everything else, any other thing is just merely a shadow in the light of that. So the question then that I raise with this, is our faith becoming less complicated? It should be. If you're hearing right, and you're opening your heart and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work in you, then there is something that is happening and it's making your faith less complicated. It's simplified. You don't need to always run for evidence. You're not just checking. You're not keep praying and I'll just remind the Lord again, just in case he's forgotten. No, no. If that's going on still in your life, your faith is still complicated. You're not there in that place yet. You see, God isn't deaf. God even knows before you even speak or ask what you're going to ask in faith. He knows from the foundation of the world. Now, when you think upon that, and that falls from the head, your head to your heart, how can you doubt? The very fact that I call out or I release my faith, the very fact that I'm doing it, the Lord knew before the foundation of the world. In fact, he gave me the power to be able to speak that, to believe that. It comes from him. That is the faith that he wants from you. That is fellowship. That is unity, oneness with him. My faith to believe is given to me from God anyway. How can we doubt? And yet we do. And you know why we do so often? Because we're not allowing God to simplify our faith, our belief. And the question is now for us as overcomers, we have to decide, we have to know whether we are in that spiritual arc in these last days or we're not. Or maybe we go in and we go out. And we go in and we go out. And so on. That is a fearful thing to do. Because you may just find you've gone out through fear and unbelief and that door has closed on you. We have to be spiritually now in that ark, and we know this. I'll read it quickly to you again. Matthew 24, verses 36 to 40. Matthew 24, verses 36 to 40. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. What are they doing there? They're living life. They're living life. They're caught up in life, in eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, all those things that are in life. And there's nothing wrong in those things. God's ordained it. The question is, does it control your life? Or is the power of the Holy Spirit controlling your life? That is the question. That is what he's raising here. He's not saying any of those things are sin. He's sorting out those who love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind and being. That's what he's saying there. And in verse 39, and did not know until the flood came. So they're so consumed in all these things, in life, busyness and everything, they didn't know. They weren't aware when the ark, the door closed. They became aware when the flood started. And so he says will be the coming of the Son of Man. We need our faith simplified to remain in that ark. To allow the Holy Spirit to work on our faith. Or are we going to be like the parable of the talents? We thought the Lord was austere, harsh. And I was afraid of him. Fear, you see. You can't enter the ark if you have that attitude and heart toward God. The bride's making herself ready. She's making herself ready because she's in love. It is love, the love of God, that is motivating all of this. And that is why he said, by the fruit you will know them. Our faith works by love. And that is the key to this, to simplifying our faith, our belief, and so on. And that's why so many have become disillusioned with the deeper life. They're saying in their hearts, it's given a false picture. It's given deception. And you know what always happens with those who reject the deeper life or who make excuses? Do you know what happens to them? They become cynical, critical. And they just judge others. I know. I've been on the receiving end of it many times over the years. They find excuses because they don't want the Holy Spirit to sanctify them, to separate them wholly, completely unto him. We still, I think, have this idea that somehow I will be denied. I won't experience things. That's the lie of the world. You know, when you are separated unto God, it is the greatest experience. For some, to just be before God is quite fearful. And that is why when you see in scriptures those who separated themselves to God, I'm thinking of course of Moses who went up on Sinai for 40 days. Do you know what? I don't think Moses actually wanted to come down. He could have gone on longer. He was in such bliss. He was in such a relationship with God, the presence of God, he didn't want to leave it. You don't get any indication, you know, he's looking, well, he didn't have watches, of course, in those days, but thinking, well, it's about time now, I've got to leave, I better go down and whatever. No. It's God deciding it. And that's what it's all about. It's God making decisions in your life. It's God telling you how long you'll be together in prayer or set apart or in fastings or whatever it is. It's the Holy Spirit doing it. Because you're caught up in Him. And some of you may say, well, Pastor, you don't know my life. I've got commitments, I've got family, I've got children and so forth. Jesus said, whatever your circumstances, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added. And most of these things that are added is God's presence to you. See, our lives are miraculous. It is supernatural. How God does it, don't try and work it out. But He does. And He will. And you see, those who have left the deeper life teaching, many of them have because they were still looking to man. Their unbelief in their trial, they were still looking to man for support, for encouragement. And it's not there. They'll say all the things that you want to hear. That's what man does. That's what the arm of the flesh does. God doesn't cater to our emotions always. Oh, He will comfort us. He will love us. He will embrace us. He will bring us in. But He's never going to sympathize with you in the flesh. And that is the difference. He's always going to do it, building you up in the faith, in the spirit. That is how He works. And so many have left because they were looking to man, looking for the answers. And one day they found out that those they were looking to, relying on, were human beings also, just like them. And so they go elsewhere and look to somebody else whom they can rely on and make a God out of. Sadly, we've seen many like that over the years. That's why you see the Holy Spirit, if you want deliverance in this, He'll open your eyes. He'll let you see other people. He'll let you see that they're human, just like you, in order that you turn your eyes back to Him and Him alone. And that's why there's so many charlatans, so many sadly behind pulpits who know that weakness in people and how they use it. And how they deceive the people and elevate themselves. And many of them make themselves very rich as well. That is why they have the double woes to them. And that's why Jesus said what He did to the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. They were doing precisely that. Has it changed? No. It's just packaged and disguised differently, but they're still around. And a lot of them are in many charismatic churches. That's the tragedy. And that is why, brothers and sisters, as God is simplifying our belief and faith, He's doing it by the fact that faith works by love. Love is the key to this. And I needn't remind you of the great love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. It's all there. And without love, you are nothing. You may think you are something, but you are nothing. And you certainly do not have the faith that God is looking for. That faith where he can be in fellowship and oneness and unity with you. Because our unity and oneness is that God's faith is our faith. And our faith is God's faith. And that is how Jesus walked. And that is why he never entertained unbelief. It wasn't there in their relationship. Suspicion, fear, not sure, or whatever. It wasn't there. In unity, oneness. There's a simplicity of faith to believe. And it works by love. So how, at this stage then, in our lives, and here we are today, listening to this teaching, how is it then with us? Well, faith, love, relationship, all of this is based on faithfulness. Faithfulness to God and what he has given thus far and what he has given over the years to us, and faithfulness to each other in fellowship in the body of Christ. That is the key to this. That is the sign. That is how you're known. And if you are faithful in all of this, these are clear signs you are in that spiritual ark. You are secure. You're in. You're not going out and coming in and going out and coming in. You don't have any need to go out. You are content. You are at peace. You are in that ark because Jesus is that ark. He is in there. And that is how our faith is known. Our faith is known by our faithfulness. Yes, you may miss it a mile off. Yes, here we go again. I've lost it. But God is ever there ready to bring us back into that place and standing with him and faith to believe. And that is why, you see, I said at the beginning that through our trials and our testings and whatever it is, we're always learning something new. Our trials, our tests, are to learn in order to have that simple childlike faith. And so often we have found, haven't we, that when finally we let go, because we're holding on, being stubborn, fearful, not sure, or whatever it is, and finally when we let go, that simple childlike faith is operating. It's there. God's presence is there. We are very often our own worst enemy where faith is concerned. And we make it so complicated for ourselves, and it isn't. It isn't. Do you know that you can get your theology in the way of faith? You can actually have too much in your head that hinders you. Even our learning and our learning theology, and we know that faith comes by hearing the word of God, is still a balance. I I have many, many books in my library that I used to read or use years and years ago. And some of them I've not read totally or whatever it is, and it's always my heart's desire to read these books. But you know what? I don't need most of them. I found actually they can be a hindrance to actually having that simple childlike faith. There is nothing like the Holy Spirit's teaching. He is still the greatest teacher and always will be. But we're not always quite sure, are we, of his teaching? We're not quite sure to rely upon him. I'm not sure if that is the voice of God or whatever it is. Well, here again, this is where he's simplifying our faith, our belief. He's removing those hindrances so that we hear the voice of God. We know the leading of God. We know what he is saying. We're hearing what he's saying to the church. We're in tune with him, in other words. But if your life is complicated, if your life is driving continually in that third lane, you haven't got any time for it. God is slowing us down. And sometimes he has to bring us to a full stop to get our attention. Because the God of this world wants to keep us so caught up and bound up in things. The Holy Spirit will lead you, and he will guide you, and he will take you into those situations where he wants to use you. You don't have to strive, plan, or scheme, or try to do it. The Holy Spirit will always take control in every situation, so that in every situation you find yourself daily in, it will not take you by surprise, because the Spirit is leading you. And whatever you find yourself saying, he will give you those words. You won't have to try and find the words. He will do it. And that is why we need to come to that place and walk with God, because that's what makes it supernatural. And that is when you find then the gifts start to operate. And sometimes God can give you a word of knowledge over that person, and they look to you and say, how did you know that? Because the Spirit revealed it. As Jesus walked, so we are to walk. And this is what he's doing, and this is why he's simplifying our lives. Our lives are too complicated still for this walk that we're supposed to have as disciples. And that is why he's simplifying our lives, so that we can believe and have this faith. Sometimes we're saying to God, why is it, Lord, I don't have the faith? Why is it I'm finding it so difficult to believe? Not hard to work out, because your life's too complicated. You're too caught up in so many other things. We have to come aside and allow the Spirit of God to start to take over in our lives, because we can't do it. You can't love your enemy. You can't turn your cheek. You can't tell your enemy, I love you, when they're saying what they're doing or whatever it is. But if you have the Spirit of God within you, he will rise up in you with God's love to embrace the unlovable. We're still trying to do these things in our own strength. And that is why we fall flat on our face and we're despondent, we're down, depressed. I believe, as God reveals to me, a lot of the churches, particularly the charismatic churches, are starting to move into a time of depression. Because they found that Toronto didn't have the answers. Faith and prosperity didn't have the answers. All these things that these ministers promise over pulpits are not producing the answers. And you will get a spiritual depression. But God will use that. And I believe he's allowing that. And I think we're going to see this more and more happening. All this entertainment in churches is not going to work. Only God's pure word into our lives, calling us as disciples, will work. But you are blessed, Full Gospel Assembly. You are blessed. We are blessed. God has been giving his word to us for years, and he's requiring much from us. And we believe that some who have left will return. We're already praying, the Spirit's leading us towards those, because they found they've gone and they thought it was going to be better, the grass was going to be greener, and it isn't. It isn't. Wherever you go, you'll find your giants are there. Wherever you go. You can deceive yourself, you can be in denial, but they're there. And only your faith, as God works that within your heart, can overcome those giants. And to overcome those giants, God is looking for faithfulness. Remaining where he puts you. Being faithful to what he gives you. Staying with what he's given to you over the years. That faithfulness. And that faithfulness works a faith that works by love. How can you be faithful if you're running all the time and running away? This is really what the children of Israel were doing. And that's why it took them 40 years. They were running away from God in their hearts. They were stiff-necked. And sadly, God gave them up. They perished in the wilderness. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, as we know, entered the promised land because they were of another spirit. They were of another confession. You see, it's so often the confession that gives it away. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Lord says. And so if that unbelief, that fear, that resentment, that anger, or whatever it is, it will come out and a trial will bring it out. But we can do something about that. We can confess and get it under the blood of the Lamb. Get it out of the way so that your faith can be that simple, childlike faith. He knows those fears. He still knows where we're battling, where we still find it difficult to believe. He knows even more than we do. But he's teaching us something. He's revealing to us what it is that hinders our faith. And if we let him, he will deliver us, because he's the great deliverer. That is why we can confess that by his stripes we were healed at Calvary. I am the Lord that healeth thee. You can make that your confession every day before you get up, when you face the day. You are my healer. You are my provider. You renew my youth like the eagles. You keep all disease and sickness at bay. My protection is Psalm 91. Are you still doing these things, brothers and sisters? Or somehow it's lost, it's forgotten, it didn't work. And we've now become cynical, critical, resentful. Oh, God knows. And if you stay with this and you remain faithful, God's going to simplify your faith and your belief. And he'll bring you to that place where you have that simple, childlike faith, where you've no room for doubt or unbelief or disbelief. Oh yes, he can do it. That's why it's not by might nor by power, it's by the Spirit of the living God. And that is why, as I close now, the baptism of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit of God in your life, your soul, your being, is absolutely paramount. You cannot walk this walk otherwise. The power of God is the only one who changes us and conforms us to his image. So why do we hinder that power in our lives? Let's open our lives afresh and anew. Call upon God to fill you. Where you know there's still unbelief, hardness of heart, he's there to wash you by the blood that he shed at Calvary. He paid a price for you and I, brothers and sisters, we'll never, ever fully understand. But what a price. What a price. Simplifying our belief and faith. That is what we have been looking at and talking about today. Heavenly Father, all of us who've been here today listening to this teaching, may we all receive it by faith. Father, enable us to translate this, to take these things we've heard before you, to talk it out, to bring it before you, to allow you to do those changes within our lives and hearts. So many today are fearful. We have so many around that scoff, that have so much unbelief, that laugh and scorn. Lord, let that not be of us. Let us always boldly be able to speak out our faith, our belief. Yes, even if we look foolish and ridiculous. What is new about that? Father, enable us to be faithful through our trials, through our delays, sometimes our disappointments, whatever. Help us, Father, to be faithful. Because a faithful saint is one who has a faith that works by love. And we thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Beloved.
myself.